You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Politics in Church. Welcome to today's episode of Eagle Wings Podcast, where we explore biblical truths and how they guide us to live as disciples of Christ. I am Pastor Chris, and many of the podcasts that you have heard were based on the messages provided in past years. Today's message, however, comes to you from my disgust of the abuse of the pulpit as a bully pulpit, which happened this week during the message at the National Prayer Service. This message is correcting a number of things said by Marianne Booty, the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, that were an absolute abomination and not biblical at all. Thus, this message focuses on a topic that touches every believer, the role of politics and faith. What are the dangers of politics in the pulpit? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." As Christians, our allegiance is first and foremost to the kingdom of God. When political agendas dominate our pulpits, the purity of the gospel is diluted. The church's mission is not to endorse political platforms, but to proclaim the word of God and call sinners to repentance. When we prioritize political messages over the gospel, we risk alienating those who most need to hear the good news. Political ideologies are transient, but the word of God stands forever. It is dangerous to mix temporal issues with eternal truths, as it can create division within the body of Christ. Our goal should be unity in Christ, not division over worldly matters. The pulpit should be a place of unity, not division. Injecting political rhetoric into sermons risks further dividing an already fractured society. Political allegiances often lead to conflict, with individuals rallying around parties or ideologies rather than the gospel. This division is not only harmful to the body of Christ, but also detrimental to the nation, as it deepens the rifts that separate us. Instead, the church should serve as a bridge, bringing people together under the banner of God's love and truth. The church should be a sanctuary from the noise of the world, a place where believers and non-believers alike can find solace, guidance, and spiritual nourishment. By keeping the focus on God's word, we provide clarity and hope to those searching for truth. The pulpit must remain a place for biblical teaching and encouragement, not a platform for political agendas. Another thing that really disgusted me was the justification of immoral behaviors, and with that, the justification of perversity in the church. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 speak clearly about the consequences of turning away from God's design. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another." The word is clear, these behaviors are not acceptable before God. But let us not forget that our God is merciful. Repentance is always possible. The door to forgiveness and restoration through Jesus Christ remains open. Immorality is not a new issue. The Bible consistently warns against straying from God's design for relationships and sexuality. When we stray from His commandments, we not only harm ourselves, but also damage our witness to the world. Yet, God's mercy is endless. He desires that all should come to repentance and experience the joy of walking in His ways. Repentance brings tremendous blessings into our lives. When we turn back to God and align our hearts with His will, we experience a restoration of peace and joy. Psalm chapter 32, verse 1 tells us, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." This forgiveness removes the weight of guilt and shame, replacing it with a sense of freedom that only God can provide. Through repentance, we draw nearer to Him, deepening our relationship with our Creator. Moreover, repentance sets the stage for God's blessings to flow abundantly into our lives. as we turn away from sin, we open ourselves to His guidance and favor. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 promises, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten." This restoration is not just spiritual, but often extends to every aspect of our lives, relationships, health, and even opportunities we thought were lost. God's desire is not to condemn us, but to restore us fully, making us vessels of His glory. Repentance is more than a simple acknowledgement of sin. It is a complete turning away from sin and a commitment to live according to God's word. This requires humility and a willingness to surrender our own desires to the will of God. Through repentance, we find restoration and a renewed relationship with our Creator. It also didn't stop with these two topics. The next thing addressed was the normalization of illegal immigration. The Bible calls us to care for the stranger, but it also calls for order. Illegal immigration is akin to the thief in the night, as referenced in John chapter 10, verse 10. Those who cross borders unlawfully undermine the systems of justice and safety established by God-ordained governments. Encouraging lawful immigration aligns with God's principles of justice and righteousness. Caring for the stranger is a biblical mandate. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 says, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself." However, this care must be balanced with respect for the laws of the land. Illegal actions, even with good intentions, cannot be condoned within a biblical framework. Lawful immigration provides an avenue for us to extend compassion while upholding justice. It ensures safety, accountability, and respect for the sovereignty of nations. As believers, we must advocate for systems that reflect God's heart for justice and mercy while protecting the integrity of our borders. And it kept on going, resulting in a lot of fear-mongering and half-truths. Gossip and fear-mongering are sins. The Bible warns against being a yenta, a gossiper who spreads fear and division. Half-truths are lies in disguise and must be repented of. Let us strive to speak truth in love without sowing discord among our brethren. Fear-mongering creates unnecessary anxiety and division. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 reminds us, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." By spreading falsehoods or partial truths, we become instruments of discord rather than peace. As Christians, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Walking by faith requires trusting in God's promises even when the world seems uncertain. Fear-mongering often arises when people focus on visible circumstances instead of God's sovereignty. Speaking truth in love requires wisdom and discernment. It calls us to verify facts and communicate in ways that edify and unite rather than divide. As followers of Christ, we are called to be peacemakers, bringing light and clarity in a world often clouded by confusion. Instead of all of this, the National Prayer Service should be focused on praying for our leaders and their focus on the will of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 instructs us to pray for those in authority. Regardless of political affiliations, we must seek God's anointing upon our leaders and pray that they govern in a way that pleases Him. As Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 reminds us, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will." Prayer for our leaders is a biblical command, not a suggestion. It is through prayer that we invite God's guidance and wisdom into their decision-making processes. Even when we disagree with their policies, our responsibility to pray for them does not change. This act demonstrates trust in God's sovereignty over all human authority. Interceding for leaders also transforms our perspective. Instead of seeing them solely through the lens of their political actions, we begin to view them as individuals created by God in need of His wisdom and salvation. This perspective fosters compassion and urges us to lift them up in prayer consistently. Moreover, praying for leaders acknowledges the immense responsibility they carry. decisions they make affect millions of lives, and they need God's direction to govern justly. As believers, we must stand in the gap, seeking God's intervention for wise and righteous governance that aligns with His will and blesses the nation. The anointing of leadership is a concept deeply rooted in Scripture. Kings like David were anointed by God, signifying divine approval and empowerment for their role. This anointing, however, places a responsibility upon the leader to walk in obedience to God. The question is not whether God's blessing is upon a ruler, but whether the ruler accepts his blessing and walks in alignment with God's will. Leaders who embrace the anointing and seek God's guidance bring blessings upon their people, while those who reject it stray into paths of destruction. As Proverbs chapter 16, verse 12 reminds us, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. The righteousness of a leader directly impacts the welfare of a nation. Therefore, our prayers must also include a plea for their hearts to be softened and their ears attuned to God's voice. Only through obedience to Him can a leader truly fulfill their God-ordained role. I believe that the majority of you who are listening to this message were very pleased to hear that our support of Israel is a high banner for our government, and the liberation of three female hostages were received with joy. We end today with a blessing from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let us pray for our nation and for our relationship with Israel, that we may remain in God's favor. The relationship between nations and Israel holds spiritual significance. God's covenant with Abraham includes blessings for those who bless Israel. By standing with Israel, we align ourselves with God's promises and invite His favor upon our nation. As we pray for our nation, let us ask for wisdom, protection, and prosperity that aligns with God's will. May our leaders seek to honor God in their decisions, and may our people turn their hearts back to Him. In doing so, we secure a future filled with His blessings and guidance. Join me. Heavenly Father, we come before You, asking for forgiveness where we have strayed. Guide our leaders to walk in righteousness. Grant us the wisdom to uphold Your word and protect our land as we seek Your face. Bless Israel and let Your favor shine upon us. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Thank you for joining Eagle Wings Podcast. Until next time, keep walking in His light and truth.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.